From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 657, Office 365 Security and Compliance with guest Erica Tell. Recorded Thursday, September 12th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Erica Telly, who is a Microsoft MVP in Office Apps and Services. She is an internationally recognized speaker on compliance, Office 365, and SharePoint. Erica has been working with customers to deploy these solutions since 2004 and has been hired as an expert by over 30 Fortune 500 companies, several Microsoft teams, and Microsoft IT. Look for her upcoming book on Office 365 compliance, which will be published by APress in January 2020. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Are you sure you're going to be out in January? Because I've been working on a book for 2 years now, and I'm ready to gnaw my head off.
Well, you know, we'll see. But it's far enough along in the writing process that I'm hopeful.
You're feeling more confident. I'm going to do a big push through this winter, try and get done. It's a lot of work. It's hard to crank out that many words.
It is. Do you want to know my secret?
Tell me.
So I actually create a PowerPoint presentation for each chapter.
Oh, I love
it. And I present it to myself, and then I pay to have it transcribed.
That's really clever. That's a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
I could see, because, you know, I'm working on a history of .NET, right? Also a Microsoft product. And I've tested different pieces of it as talks for user groups and things. Just to see how people react to, you know, how do I tell this particular part of the story? So I made a PowerPoint slide also.
I think, you know, you have to look at what your strengths are. And I'm much better at public speaking than I am at writing.
Interesting.
So leverage your strength, right?
Yeah. Well, I've definitely been practicing writing a lot and getting into more of a groove. But it's, yeah, it is a different, definitely a different muscle. I like that my voice, like the way that I write and the way that I speak are very similar.
Yeah,
they
sort of
tie together. Compliance is not the sexiest topic in the world, is it? It's like it's one of those things we just have to do. What do you mean when you say compliance?
Sure. So I define compliance as one of three things. So number one, complying with different regulations that the industry may impose on the company.
So like financial services, medical, those kinds of industries that have regulations that you have to be compliant to.
Yeah, 100%. The second thing would be risk reduction within a company, whether that's risks from external forces or even your own internal employees, but the things that you do to manage and reduce that risk.
And so this is a security thing, but security and compliance kind of go hand in hand?
Yeah, you know, there's really kind of a gray, fuzzy line between security and compliance. So it just depends on which lens you're looking at it through.
Right. And are we specifically talking about Office 365 in this context, or is this just across the board for an organization?
My focus is certainly on more Office 365 compliance.
Right.
But if you are implementing a compliance program in your organization, you are going to look at it more broadly than just Office 365.
Sure. And it's part of the equation, I guess. And a big part. I mean, Office 365 just seems to have this tremendous amount of momentum these days.
Yeah. You know, in the first wave of customers that maybe have more simple requirements have gone 100% to the cloud. And now it's interesting. You see those more highly regulated and government organizations that have much more complexity, especially around compliance and security, really taking a hard look at the cloud in the last like 18 months. And so that's why I would argue that compliance is becoming a bit more sexy than it used to be.
I love it. But also this angle of, like, I've worked in financial services in IT dealing with auditors. And every time we were using sort of third-party tools that the auditor knew, the conversation was shorter.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're using this? Great. They move on.
Yeah, that's because, like, with using Office 365 as an example, they've done a lot of the groundwork in going through those audit reports already. And you can actually download a copy of those reports on the Trust Center.
Right.
And you can just present those to the auditors and then, yeah, your work's done for you. Whereas if it's your own custom built application or something lesser known, the onus is on you to conduct those audits and provide that documentation.
And ultimately, the auditor is going to ask all those questions. It's just they know the answers if you're using a known third party.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's the same questions either way. But I've certainly been there with security tools, especially where we like, okay, well, we don't know this one. Here's what we need to know about it to have some confidence.
Yeah. And actually, I'm not sure if you're aware, there's a great tool that's included in Office 365 in all of the different license types called Compliance Manager, where you can put in your specific regulation or, you know, whatever the auditor's measuring you against, and it'll take you through the step-by-step process of creating that documentation, both for the Office 365 service, but also for your internal processes, so you can be more prepared for that audit.
Interesting. So it ends up being a checklist tool for you as well.
Yeah. And it's really cool because they have a bunch of pre-built templates in there for a lot of the most common regulations. But then if you have like on-premises tools where you have your own checklist, you can import your own audit. So you can have something customized to go through and have it all in one place.
Are there particular industries you've worked in and worked through this process with? Maybe we could talk about some of these elements.
Sure. Most of my experience is in government, oil and gas, and financial services.
Interesting. And anything just to sort of set, I know you need to protect people's privacy around all of this as well, because this is sensitive stuff. Like people get very concerned about compliance and things. In oil, can we talk a little bit about oil and gas? Like, what are the compliance rules that oil and gas have? What makes them distinct?
Well, I think when it comes to compliance, there's a couple unique challenges that industry has. Mm-hmm. So first of all is health and safety data.
Right.
So if there is any type of an incident, they have to be able to provide documentation that they went through the proper number one, if they have the processes in place, but number two, that they were followed at that specific location. So they can prove they did their diligence in following the safety measures.
Funny how that works. It's not enough to have a plan. You actually have to execute around the plan.
Yeah, and have proof of the last time that you went through and did a safety audit or in what exactly those levels and results were. And it's not just doing it, but it's also like not accidentally deleting that data prematurely, which is more on the records management side of compliance. But it's actually kind of hard. You're dealing with so many pieces of data.
Yeah, but without a doubt. And actually keeping it organized properly so you can find it again. You know, I've done lots of disaster response setups where, you know, making that book we called In Case Of, and it sort of walked through all the different scenarios and people knowing where that book is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then another challenge that oil and gas has is around asset management. Mm-hmm. So you have maybe an oil drilling location where you have a lease on the land that's going to be maybe 100 years in length. Right. So first of all, you have to keep that lease and not delete it on accident and be able to find it. But then you have aspects of that lease, like who's operating it, what equipment is there that are related to the overall property, but have their own retention schedules, their own compliance obligations that need to be kept.
Sure.
So keeping the relationships between that data and assigning the permissions so you can't change the information about the lease, but you can change the other aspects is actually quite a challenge from an information architecture and compliance standpoint.
Yeah, no, I love that idea. And it is interesting to think about all that equipment needs maintenance. You need to keep incident records for those as well. When they get moved, when they get replaced, like it's a long list of stuff. And it's interesting to think about in terms of how useful it is for any business in some respects to do real serious asset management, not just from a compliance perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm really excited for the advancements in artificial intelligence and machine learning that are coming down the pipeline, especially in Office 365, because I'm hoping that will assist us with identifying and maintaining those types of relationships.
It's interesting to think about that, that one of the side effects of having the, you know, we talk about how AI has been accelerated by the cloud just because we have access to more data and we can work at a sufficient scale to see that kind of machine learning models work. This centralization of compliance offers those same potential things that you could not only figure out what your compliance at, you could see roughly where you fall at a level of compliance within your industry just because you have this access to a broader view.
Yeah, I mean, that would be certainly very interesting to see. Mm-hmm. Of course, companies are very sensitive about having their maybe compliance portfolio shared enough to compare with other people.
Yeah.
But it certainly would be interesting to get things like a risk score for your organization. Yeah. Like, are you, you know, using things like information rights management to lock down your documents from very highly sensitive areas? And I think machine learning will be great for assisting with those types of things.
It seems to me that document management is one of those, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. That's just a thing you need to be able to do well. Every organization has some level of sensitivity to documents and wants to maintain some control over them.
Yeah, you're completely right. And I think that that's one of the myths that I hope we can dispel in the next few years, which is, you know, everyone does need compliance. It's not just these highly regulated government organizations. Everyone should be doing risk management and thinking about how to manage those information assets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the do the tools actually provide for asset management per se when you're talking about oil and gas, or is it that's up to you? This is just about making sure you have, you're sort of dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Well, I mean, of course, it's going to depend on the company and what tools they're using. But, you know, Office 365 can certainly assist with a lot of it around things like, so as an example, let's go to emails.
Yeah.
So this is one what every company should be looking at. So everyone typically has an anti-harassment policy at their organization, right?
Right. It's not optional. That's just the way it is these days.
And, you know, unfortunately, when something happens, you again have to prove that you did, you know, it followed a process and did what was in your power to prevent the harassment from happening.
And respond properly should it happen as well. Like there's got to be a chain.
Exactly. And keeping the documentation on that all organized, as we discussed previously. So there's a great tool in the Office 365 compliance feature set called Supervision, where you can use machine learning to look at for offensive language, or you can import your own custom dictionary of terms. And then when something is identified, when an email is identified as matching that criteria, it'll be put in a queue for review and possible action.
Wow. All right. So this is a level above email into we are analyzing that email and looking for potential risks before they become events or something that needs to be reported.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fascinating just to think about, this is a side effect of the evolution of mail. It's such a key part of the business. Is it only mail, or are there other products in the Office 365 that are affected by this?
For Supervision?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can look at Skype chats and conversations. Mm-hmm. You can look at Teams chats and conversations. And then also, let me see, I'm trying to remember. I'm forgetting one, but I'll think of it.
No, that's fine. And I think that it's just interesting to recognize that all messaging essentially flowing in and through Office 365, internal and external, can have these supervision policies put upon it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's another aspect of compliance. And again, it's got nothing to do. I mean, so often with compliance conversations, it's industry specific. But it's like, if you're in business, this is an issue for you. You have to be aware of that. If your company handles mail, and all companies handle mail, you really have to think in terms of, how do I deal with, at the simplest level, harassment? I'm sure there's more things. I presume I could put policies in place for actually detecting, are we violating some security rules or some real, you know, industry-specific compliance rules in terms of sharing information?
Yeah, I mean, a big one in the financial services industry would be insider trading.
Right.
No one ever emails their friend and says, hey, like, I'm sending you information I shouldn't be sending you, right? So you have to look for, like, more subtle patterns in the language or combinations of words or attachment contents in order to properly identify those conversations. And that's something that supervision can certainly help with.
That's really interesting. Yeah, especially that kind of subtlety. I would feel in harassment, you've got the same problem, right? That different people, different terms, like what constitutes harassment, what constitutes insider trading. And you don't have to get it. You're not asking the system to get it right. You're asking the system to just raise a flag on the emails you should look at.
Yeah, correct. And then it gets put into a queue for a human to review.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can mark it as violating a policy, not violating it, or questionable.
Right.
In which case you can have it go to another level of review.
Right. Yeah. In the end, the task for us in IT is to make sure that management is aware.
Right. And make it so that a human being actually could review all that stuff and it's a reasonable workload.
Yeah, just to facing the number, you know, the velocity of email that exists these days. How do you handle all that? So, an email alone, much less Teams conversations. I mean, that's thousands every day. Like, it'd be in any sizable organization, that's just a massive amount of information flying around.
Yes, you're completely right.
No problem, right? Easy stuff. And Erica, I'm interrupt for one moment for this very important message.
This episode of Run As is brought to you by SQL Intersection. 8 full-day workshops and over 40 technology-focused sessions make SQL Intersection a unique source for the best information for SQL Server from real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team. You'll learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as learn about the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, cloud, as well as the new features in the latest version of SQL Server 2019. It's time to determine your migration strategy, and SQL Intersection is the place to figure out the best way to do it. Come to SQL Intersection at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, November 18 to 21. Use code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration at SQLintersection.com. See you there.
And we're back. This is Richard Campbell. You're listening to Run As Radio. And I'm talking to Erica Telly about compliance, but just thinking in terms of Office 365's tooling to help us be compliant. And I immediately, again, coming from working in financial services, dove into this aspect of compliance in legal industries where we have to know where data is and we need to show, you know, workflows around things and so forth for auditors. But you've got me really thinking more generally about data governance across the board that any organization needs to be concerned about, knowing when data walks out the door.
Yeah, completely. So, I mean, maybe there's another feature that you haven't thought about, which is e-discovery, which is typically used for legal cases by lawyers when you're being sued or undergoing litigation. But the same feature set could also be used for other internal investigations. Maybe if somebody's getting fired for doing something and you want to look at the paper trail that led up to it.
Right.
Or other types of issues.
So is that tend to be post-facto analysis, e-discovery? So we've already come to a conclusion around an incident and we need to gather more information? Or like the supervision policies, something we can detect in advance?
I would say you'd probably be suspicious that something is happening. Maybe right. You don't know yet, but you can use the features of e-discovery to conduct an investigation across all sources in Office 365.
And not just emails. Once again, and I mean, I'm including the link to the e-discovery section of Office 365 here and seeing Skype, SharePoint, OneDrive, Teams, like all these products that get caught, pulled into an e-discovery process.
Yeah, completely. And even some of the ones that are missing today, like Yammer e-discovery, they have on the Microsoft 365 roadmap as coming next year.
Interesting. I mean, we think about famous cases like this. It was e-discovery that revealed the conspiracy around smoking, right? Those kinds of sort of famous cases, but e-discovery is just mainstream now. You're expected to be able to do this.
Yeah, and you know, since we have more and more information every year, it becomes a more difficult problem as time goes on. Like you brought up earlier, Teams conversations.
Yes.
Like so many happening every day. So Microsoft's advanced eDiscovery, which is a higher SKU with E5, provides a lot of great, again, machine learning and analytics capabilities that allow you to do things like find duplicate conversations, or it puts Teams conversations into threads. So you're not looking at individual messages that don't have any context.
Is that more AI technology in action there, that they're actually being able to organize these things?
Yeah.
It's very cool, right? You think about it, just how much power we've got now to actually assemble a story. I mean, irrespective of legalities around this, if I was trying to pull together a composite view of a project, the idea that I could use e-discovery tools to say, how are we building this project? Where are the discussion points happening? This tool could really help me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very cool, like to build a dossier on a customer, all the places we talk about them, all the places we've interacted with them. I mean, how many organizations have even a clue of what the real level of conversation is happening with a given customer?
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to look at for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm totally jazzed. I'm like, this is, I feel like that so often security and compliance, it's the tinfoil hat effect, right? It's like once in a while, I have to put on my tinfoil hat, be paranoid for the whole day, and go through all this stuff. At the same time, it's like, no, this could actually be super empowering for understanding your customer, the way your employees work. All of these tools could really be helpful.
Yeah, and I just remembered what I forgot, which is third-party data.
Right.
So data outside of Office 365. So they've been building more and more connectors to bring in outside data for both supervision analysis and e-discovery analysis. So you can archive, like today, I think they have Teams and Bloomberg Chat and a few others.
Right.
But they're certainly adding more of those connectors as time goes on.
Yeah, I'd think about something like Salesforce. Again, as if you think about records of interacting with customers and prospects and how that's gone about. And being able to poke through Salesforce data as well would be really powerful.
Yeah, you know, we live in this exciting cloud world where we can access things through these APIs that, you know, are already built into the tools. And I think that's a challenge from a client compliance perspective, because you have to have a compliance system for each one of these standalone cloud tools and then maintain it and analyze it. So the more that we can bring it into one centralized system like Office 365, I think the more manageable and maintainable and realistic it is.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Any other tooling, like when it comes to managing compliance, what else do we look at?
Yeah, I mean, another huge area is retention.
Right. Yeah, obviously the other side of e-discovery is know when you should be deleting things.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, retention and records management go hand in hand. And so it's been, I think, typically something that these highly regulated or government organizations invest in. But I do think there's a lot of value in retention for your more everyday organization. Keeping data around makes it more difficult to find things through search, the storage costs. And then, of course, the risk of what could be in that data are all things to consider.
Yeah, and you want to be legal, but also don't carry around unnecessary baggage. I recently applied to the Canadian government, because I'm a Canadian, about destroying old tax records that were more than 10 years old. And it's pretty trivial. You fill in a form online and they basically send you, they mail you a letter saying you're allowed to destroy up to this.
Yeah. So they have a retention policy in place saying that we must keep these returns for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then some companies will want to automatically have it be destroyed after that time, or maybe undergo a review before it's destroyed. Mm-hmm. Or it sounds like in your case, the individual needs to make a request to have it destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a small business, but in the end, you know what it is? It's literally boxes taking up storage space.
Yeah. Physical or electronic records.
The problem is our hard drives have kept growing. I mean, I think the instinct in IT is keep everything. And I think it's becoming really the wrong instinct.
Yeah. So like if you wanted to kind of look into this a little bit more, you could use an Office 365 retention label, and you can set it up so that it identifies content older than, let's say, 7 years. Across all Office 365 locations, but then set the label to not do anything besides identify it.
Right.
So you can at least look at the report to see, You know, is it mostly in, you know, old SharePoint sites? Like, right. Where is it? What do we know about it? So you can make some decisions about what to do.
Is there much in the way of activity level monitoring? Like, is anybody looking at this anymore?
What do you mean by this?
Like, if you've got old data that's years old and you still got it sitting on a file share somewhere, I guess I would like to know how often it's looked at.
Well, I think up until now, it's been a huge challenge because especially when you're talking about file shares, it's very unstructured data.
Right.
Anyone was allowed to build any file structure they wanted. You don't really know what's in there. So that's where machine learning comes in. So you can look at what data is in your file shares, use what's called unsupervised machine learning to try to group things together that seem to be alike. And then it makes it much easier to sort through that material and see what it actually is.
Yeah, no, I buy into that. Is this also Microsoft Graph in action? We've talked about it a couple of times on the show before, but it just seems to be one of those strange things that people have a tough time understanding. Like, what is that? Where does it play?
I am not a developer, and okay. So I always ask for help when it gets into that realm. Sorry, I can't answer that.
No, that's fair. It's just, you know, it's yet another tool and one of those odd tools. So what is your day-to-day job exactly, Erica? Are you just helping people be compliant, sort of walking them through the checklists?
Yeah, so I work as a consultant focused on compliance. So day-to-day, I'm either working with highly regulated organizations, mm-hmm. meeting with usually their CIO, their security officers, lawyers, records managers, to see if they can better leverage the Office 365 feature set to meet their requirements. Or I'm working with a customer that's decided that they want to deploy supervision, for example, and actually helping them build the rules and figure out how to achieve the outcome that they want.
Right.
But most of what I do is shorter term engagements over a large number of customers.
Right. I can see that. And again, you know, obviously the compliance-based industries care a lot, but I got to think with something like GDPR, like everybody needed to think about GDPR. If you do any business with the EU at all, you've got to think about this.
Yeah. And if, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding of GDPR is it's actually a lot. Number one, records management. Number two, e-discovery, to be able to find the information. It's our traditional kind of compliance tools just put together in a cohesive solution we call GDPR.
Mm-hmm. And so there is tooling to literally help you go through this process?
Yeah. So the first place I would check if you want to be GDPR compliant in Office 365 is that compliance manager checklist.
Nice.
So they have one for GDPR, and that will walk through both the technical things you need to do as well as the business process things you need to do to be compliant, because it's not all about technology.
Yeah, there is, I mean, just for Run-As, the fact that we collect email addresses and get permission to do so, we also have to be able to delete them and tell people if we've got them or not. So those are things I have to do directly, you know, to be able to be compliant. But it's interesting to think in those terms of how are you going to enable the right to be forgotten inside of your organization for a customer.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure, you know, formal or not, you have a business process you follow if mm-hmm. somebody was to request to be forgotten.
Yep. Yeah. In a large organization, it's like, wow, think about what that actually entails in terms of tech support, email exchanges, documentation. Like, the right to be forgotten is not a trivial thing to implement for someone.
No, it's not.
Now, getting into this is one thing, and I'm looking at the Office 365 security and compliance page and going, okay, here's your first 30 days checklist, things to do, then over the next 90 days. But do you do quarterly reviews? Do you find like how when I was working in financial services, it was like once a year, the auditors are coming, and 3 months before the audit comes, we'd sort of dust everything off and dig in again.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the organization. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for something like financial services, you can do more of that yearly process. Whereas like maybe a government organization that's having to deal with freedom of information requests all the time has to be keeping up on this a little bit more like week to week or month to month.
Yeah. You get to a certain point where you have a compliance officer, and that may even have a team. That's their job. They do it every day.
Yeah, exactly. So it depends on the size of your organization, mm-hmm. What types of regulations are in your industry, et cetera.
But there's no organization out there that doesn't need some level of security and compliance.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I just wonder about the small businesses. You know, folks that migrated from SBS over to Office 365, have they spent a little time in the Trust Center and just looked around at what can be done for them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that Office 365 can help with, mm-hmm. just to put in some minimal safeguards in place to manage your risk. And it's definitely worth taking a look.
You mentioned having E5 accounts. Is that a requirement for a lot of this stuff, or is it any level of Office 365 that gets some security and compliance?
Yeah, so something like the Compliance Manager is available in every single plan,
right. Everything
from the business plans to E3, E5. And then for a lot of it, though, you do need at least an E3 license.
Right.
So things like being able to perform basic retention and basic e-discovery and having the audit log are all E3 type features.
E3 minimum. And I saw the advanced e-discovery is E5.
Yeah. So then E5, or you could buy an add-on mm-hmm. called the Office 365 Advanced Compliance SKU, or what they call the Microsoft 365 Compliance Package. So those are things like the advanced e-discovery, the supervision, being able to automatically apply retention based on rules, do things like disposition reviews or event-based retention. So there are kind of some more of those advanced compliance features that your maybe everyday small business wouldn't need that are more in that E5 level.
Nice. So what's next for you? Are we going to see you at Ignite?
Unfortunately, I can't. It's the first Ignite or Tech Ed that I'm going to miss in my career this year.
Oh, my goodness. Is it for a good reason?
But I will be at the European SharePoint conference in December, as well as a few SharePoint Saturdays before that.
Yeah, SharePoint Saturdays are so much fun. Yeah, good things. Well, Erica, it's so nice to talk to you. And you've got my brain absolutely churning about, I own some 3E5 accounts. I have not spent enough time in this stuff. I should really dig around and see what I could be doing with the information that's just flowing through my organization.
Yeah, you know, and it is a bit of a, like, if you really want to figure it out, it's a bit of a learning curve. So please always reach out to me on social media. I love talking to other people about this because there's not many people doing it. And I miss the, you know, you get ideas from other people and their questions and talking to each other.
Yeah, no, great, great thinking. Erica Tully, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.